Christ is coming, call them in. Very much in keeping with the message that we want to bring to your attention today. We're turning in God's Word to Mark's Gospel, the chapter 2. Mark's Gospel and the chapter 2. Reading the opening 13 verses of the chapter. And again, he, that is Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. May the Lord bless the reading of the precious word of the Lord today. We're dealing with the overall subject at our morning services, the ministry of Hebron. And we're coming to think especially about true friendship. We've been dealing with the great work that Christ has commissioned his church to, and that is the work of evangelism. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to occupy till Jesus comes. We are to lift up Christ as the Savior of men and spread the light of the glorious gospel. We are to live a dying world to save. We've introduced the subject dealing with the importance of this ministry. And then we went on to think about the home guard and our responsibility as Christians to our families, being a witness within our own homes. And then we proceeded to think about neighborhood watch, how that we have a responsibility to the men and the women who live immediately around us, and to watch for their souls and to bring them the gospel. We're coming today to true friendship. What our responsibility is to our friends. Now the Bible has much to say about friendship, and in particular Solomon. You read the Proverbs and you're going to read about what the Word of God has to say about friendship. For example, he tells us a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 17, verse 17. He says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in Proverbs 18 and verse 24. And there are friends that we have that are even closer to us than our human brothers in our family relationships. He also said, faithful are the wounds of a friend in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. A friend that tells you the truth even though it might wound you. That's what a faithful friend is. I remember when we were dealing with the home and the family, We were thinking about what Jesus said to the demoniac of Gadara, and he said, go home. And we laid emphasis upon the home. But he says, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things that the Lord hath done for thee. There is a very striking account outlined by Luke in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24 with regard to Cornelius the centurion. And this is what it says. It's very interesting. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. As the apostles come to preach the gospel and uplift Christ as the Savior of men, Cornelius had gathered together not only family members, his kinsmen, but he gathered together his near friends. For he wanted them to hear the message of the gospel. And we have a duty to our friends that is first and foremost above any other kindness that we could possibly bestow upon them, and that is to bring them the gospel. The best kind of friendship that you or I could ever have is soul friendship. To have an interest in the eternal well-being of others. To make it our business to bring others to the Savior. To tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. It would be an awful indictment upon any one of us to fail in this regard. Other things we may fail in. But dear Christian, here's something that we cannot afford to fail in. And that is bringing the gospel to others, to our friends. Let not one friend be able to say, like David said in his day, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I trust there's not a friend that we have in this world that could ever speak those words when it comes to the truth of the gospel and our witness to them. Such was the experience of the diseased man that Jesus met in John chapter 5 and in verse 7. You remember the pool at which the sick had gathered? And this dear, impotent man who was unable to get down into the waters whenever those waters were troubled. John chapter 5 and verse 7 tells us that the impotent man answered Jesus, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. There's no man. And I'm sure you see the striking application there. I wonder, have we friends out there in society and they're saying there's not a man, there's not a woman, there's not a young person who will tell me my need or help me to get to Christ? May our friends not be void of soul friendship. May God make us caring Christians. May He make this church a church with a vision. We must remember two great principles in soul winning. Number one, it is our duty. It is our duty to reach out to those that are lost in their sin. God's way of spreading the gospel to sinners is through our witnessing and our preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? How will our friends ever be saved unless someone tells them God's message of saving grace? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The other principle that must be kept in mind as we view the subject of evangelism, not only is it our duty, but those that we're trying to reach, they are depraved. The will of man is irreparably damaged through the fall. He has a natural bias to sin. His will is set against God. His heart is deceitful and corrupt. his sinful tendency and nature is to take him further and further away from God. Of himself, he will not seek God. He will not search for salvation. He will not desire the gospel. He cannot lift himself to God. And because of that, because of his depraved nature, we must go to him. Sinners need help. We read of various individuals in the scripture who were unable to help themselves. They could in no wise bring themselves to Jesus. They were so crippled, or so bent, or so blind. And these all illustrate what the sinner is. The woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, we are told she was bowed down together and she could in no wise lift up herself. She was bent double. She was completely helpless. And that's the sinner. The sinner is bent away from God and cannot of himself lift himself to God. And then the man of John 5, who had an infirmity for 38 years, he couldn't help himself. All those years, he was diseased. He was unable to bring himself to Christ. And blind Bartimaeus, another example, sitting by the wayside begging, he couldn't come of himself to Christ, for he was so blind, he needed help. And here the paralytic man of our reading, so destitute, so pathetic, lying in his bed of sorrow, he had a disease that rendered him crippled. Palsy is not so painful as cancer. It is not so loathsome as leprosy. It is not so fatal as cholera. But it is a disease that renders the patient eminently helpless. This man could not bring himself to Christ. He hadn't the ability. He hadn't the strength or the power. But he had four friends who loved him and sought to bring him to Jesus. Oh, they met with certain difficulties, but they persevered until their friend was brought to the Saviour. And what an outcome it was, what a mighty outcome it was, as we shall come to see. And I believe that God has a very powerful message for you and I in this service today, who ought to be doing what these four men did and bringing our friends to Christ that they might be saved. I'm going to deal with the subject very simply, and I'll not be long this morning, for we have a lot on today. But I want you to notice in verse 3 the regard they possessed. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. They had a regard for the poor, wretched state of their paralytic friend. They loved him. They felt for him. They cared for him. They pitied him. They were burdened and concerned for him. And they wanted to do something to help him. Let me suggest to you how this concern is brought forth. First of all, they were concerned enough to think about him. They might have left him to lie in his bed of sickness and misery. They might have felt it not worthy to consider his plight and the awful condition that he was in, but no. They thought about him. And sometimes Christians don't even think about their friend's plight and damnable condition. They don't see them in their great need, hanging, as it were, over the very precipice of a lost eternity, with but a thread of life keeping them here on this earth. And if that thread was to be broken out into the darkness of everlasting doom, they would go. And you know, we don't even think about that. We meet them every day. We work with some of them. They gather in our homes at night, but we don't even think about their miserable condition spiritually. Here's men
and they thought about their friend. That's where it began, in the mind. A thought that was in the heart, a thought of concern. But they were also concerned enough to tell him, "Have you heard about Jesus? He can cure all manner of disease and sickness. And he can help you. He's in Capernaum today." When was the last time that you told a friend about Jesus? When was the last time that you said, "Have you heard about him? Have you heard about him?" I wonder, is there some Christian here, and in the honesty of your heart, you will have to say, "It's been years. It's been years." You ought to have been telling folks this week that has gone into eternity. I hope that is not the case. That for some of you, you have to look back months ago to the last time when you told a friend about Jesus. Here are men concerned to think about him, concerned enough to tell him, concerned enough to bring him. I want you to see that it's important. Not only did they tell him, but they brought him to Jesus. This was a common occurrence when you read the history of the scriptures in the New Testament. There were those that were so burdened for the terrible condition of their friends, they brought their friends to Christ. Let me just read some verses from the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, where we read about the fame of Christ going throughout all Syria, it says that they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. In chapter 9 and verse 32, another example. As he went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Chapter 14 and verse 35 and 36. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that he might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Chapter 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them, the same thought there, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Chapter 17 and verse 14. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Dear child of God, this is our duty. To go out and to bring others. To go out into the highways and the byways and compel others to come in. Oh, even into the house of God, that the house might be filled, where they will hear the gospel, where they will meet with Jesus Christ. When was the last time you brought a friend to Christ or to the house of God to listen to the message of Christ? When was the last time? The last time you spoke to them? The last time that you brought somebody in? We ought to be challenged. And these men were concerned enough to ask Jesus by faith. Now, it doesn't tell us that they said anything. The scripture is silent when it comes to any words that these men spoke. So whether it was outwardly or not, we're not quite sure. But Jesus knew their request. He knew the desire of their heart. He knew what they were asking, because he looked into their heart and he saw their desire. In our reading in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, the opening line says, when Jesus saw their faith,
How often do we bring the lost of our friends to the Savior's feet in prayer? Privately at home, get before the Lord to plead for them. The Lord looks down and He sees in your heart that burden. Oh, He sees even the very faith that you have, that they might be saved. Or in the public prayer meetings, maybe we're not hearing like we used to hear names being mentioned. We're not hearing souls being wept over and that appeal being made to Jesus Christ. Lord, come and touch my loved one that they might be saved. We need compassion. We need a burden. We need love. We need our eyes opened. Perhaps we have never understood the true condition and hopelessness of our unconverted friends. These four men knew what an awful state their friend was in. He had a palsy. This disease is a loss of sensibility, voluntary motion, or both in one or more parts of the body. It is produced by disease of the brain, the spinal cord, or particular nerves. It affects the muscles. There's only three men that are singled out in the scriptures as having this disease. The unnamed man in our text, the centurion's servant of Matthew chapter 18, and Aeneas that you read about in Acts chapter 9. And from these three cases we learn that this disability was pitiful. The body is so broken and disabled. The man had to be carried in a bed. He could not go anywhere by himself. The disability was not only pitiful, but it was painful. We know that because in Mark chapter 8 and verse 6, where we have the case of the centurion's servant, the centurion making his appeal to Christ, he said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." This man is tormented. And we know that the condition, the disability, was permanent, because in Acts chapter 9 and verse 33, this man named Aeneas, we are told, kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. His disease was not going away. The four men realized his condition and they had compassion. And dear child of God, sin is all this, isn't it? Sin is pitiful, wrecks a man's life, breaks up his home, and renders him spiritually disabled. The description given in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6 is a very clear picture of the depravity of man, the inability of man from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up or mollified with ointment. That's the sinner. And his case is painful. What sorrows, what heartbreaks, what tears sin brings to a man's life. And it's permanent. Year after year, men continue in sin and they cannot break free. It's incurable. And we need to see this. It should be our concern to carry our friends to Christ. And it's not only our duty. It ought to be our desire. Ought to be the longing of our heart. What a deep desire we ought to possess. I'm ever struck by the words of Spurgeon when he said, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. And let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for." He said the Holy Spirit will move them by first moving you. If you can rest without their being saved, they will rest too. But if you are filled with an agony for them, if you cannot bear that they should be lost,
You will soon find that they are uneasy too. I hope you will get into such a state that you will dream about your child or your hearer perishing for lack of Christ and start up at once and begin to cry, Oh God, give me converts or I die. Then you will have converts. We need a love that feels. A love that feels for sinners. And then in verse 4, very quickly, there is the resolve they display it. It tells us that when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Great multitude had gathered. Word had spread that Jesus Christ was in town. One invited another, Come, let us go and see Jesus. So the house could not contain the vast crowd that assembled there, so numerous, so crammed in around the door. A wonderful sight. Wish to God that that would happen in all of our churches where the gospel is preached. All these pews filled and everywhere, every little bit of carpet taken. People crammed out of the door. They can't get in because of the interest that there is in the preaching of the word. When the four men carrying their friend reached the house where Jesus was, they were confronted by a difficulty, one that they had not expected or anticipated. Circumstances hindered them. Such was the throng, these men could not get their friend through to Christ. The crowd at the door was too great. What was going to be done? Many would have given up and gone home. But these men didn't give up easily. They persevered. They looked around to see how this difficulty could be overcome. And they climbed up onto the roof of the house. You know the story. You know it from your childhood. They pulled back the tiling off the roof and they lowered their friend down to the place where Jesus was. They were in earnest. And they would not give up until their friend got to Christ. They went the second mile. They had fervency and they had faith. Two great qualities. By pains and labours and persistence, they got into Christ. I wish that we could take the same pains in bringing our friends to the Saviour. I wish that we possessed the same zeal and determination. Sometimes we meet with a difficulty and we give up. Isn't that right? We're tempted to stop praying. We've prayed for years and it seems as if God has not answered that prayer. So we give up. We don't persist. We don't persevere. And we give up inviting them. But sure, they've refused the invitation 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. And so, no longer do we invite them to come. Listen, we need to be taught a lesson of perseverance just like these men until they got their friend to Christ. And then, as we close the meeting, the reward they obtained. Look at it. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 11, Jesus said, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all. What a reward. Christ noted their faith. Oh, to believe God. To be able to say in the very depths of our heart, Lord, I believe. I believe. True faith is rewarded. The Lord speaks the word, Thy sins be forgiven thee. What tender words. Words of pardon. Words of forgiveness. Words of mercy. Words of salvation itself. What tremendous delight and joy there must have been in the hearts of these men. Their friend, at the command of Christ, rose up from his bed of disease. He jumped to his feet, perfectly cured. He picked up his bed and he went home, glorifying God. What joy is found in our souls when a poor, lost,
hell-bound sinner, rises from his bed of sin, jumps to his feet to accept Christ, and is set on his way rejoicing. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. The soul winner's wine. And there was a wider effect as you read that story in Mark chapter 2. We learn in verse 12, insomuch that they were all amazed and they all glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." And the Lord went to the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. There was continued blessing. The ministry of Hebron, the work of evangelism. And part of that essential work is our friends, getting them to the Savior. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind? Help him the wandering lambs to find. Who will bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Will you be one? God, make you faithful to your friends. God, make me faithful to my friends. For Jesus' sake, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us our responsibility, but not to carry out this work just for the sake of it, out of mere duty, but with true soul concern. Give me a love that feels for all, a love that is originated in my heart by the very love of Christ itself. I pray that we will go out into the highways and the byways and meet with our friends and tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. O God, we pray that thou wilt make every Christian here an evangelist, a witness for Jesus Christ. And we have friends that we love, friends that are close to us, and they're still in their sin, and they're going down the road to hell, and sometimes we don't appreciate the misery that they're in, the awful plight, the terrible destiny. Oh God, open our eyes. May we be moved. And when we begin to be moved, they will be moved. We pray that our love will captivate them. We pray that our concern will overwhelm them. And oh God, may we be that instrument in the hand of God to reach them for Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.